being on the weeks before Pesach, so I'd like to give the shiurim regarding Inyanei Pesach. Today's shiur about the issur of achilas chometz on Erev Pesach, and then I will be giving a shiur Bez Hashem on the issur of achilas matzah on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is a very unique day. It's different than any other Erev Yontif that we have. How so? We have Erev Sukkot, we have Erev Shavuos. Erev Pesach is different than any other Erev Yontif that we have, in the regard that Erev Pesach in itself is a Yontif. How so? Well, as you said, we bring a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, which we don't bring on any other Yontif, Erev Yontif. Erev Yontif is a regular weekday normally. Right? Erev Pesach itself is a Yontif, and in fact, there, when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence and they brought the Korban Pesach on Erev Yontif, they had said Hallel on Erev Yontif. In fact, certain Hasidim have a minug when they bake their matzahs, the square Hasidim, when they bake their matzahs on Erev Yontif, the minug to make matzahs on Erev Yontif is Yom Shabbos, so it doesn't work out that way. Some make the matzahs on the night of the Seder. So that's how some who want to fulfill this union of making matzahs on Erev Pesach. And these Hasidim, they say Hallel with a bracha on Erev Pesach while they're making matzahs, just like Hallel was said in the Beis HaMikdash when the Korban Pesach was brought. So it's a unique, so therefore, and what the halacha is, that when you bring a korban, you're not allowed to do malacha. So when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, midday in Erev Pesach, you were not allowed to do any work anymore, because the halacha is when you bring a korban, you're not allowed to do malacha during the time of the korban. So everyone of Klal Yisrael brought a korban in Erev Pesach, namely the Korban Pesach. Now, the one unique manner, so therefore, even this year it's not irrelevant, because this year Erev Pesach is a Shabbos, so we're not doing Malacha anyway. But in a normal year, that it's not, and supposedly it's not going to happen for a long time. You know, we had a couple, in the past couple of years, we had several of the Purims on Friday and Erev Pesach and Shabbos, but those that know the calendar tell me that we're not going to have another one for quite a number of years now.
13.
How many?
13.
Okay. What? 13. Okay. So therefore the minig is once you normally on Erev Yontif you get a haircut anytime you want. On Erev Pesach you're supposed to get it, and if you didn't get it, you're supposed to get it in the morning before Chatzos. If you need to do laundry, you should do it early in the day. And the other halacha, hopefully, should never be relevant for anybody, but that is, God forbid, one loses a relative. So, and once it's Shiva, so Yontif comes and ends the Shiva. But one has to sit Shiva till Yontif starts, meaning till the amount of time it takes to prepare for Yontif. So if it takes a person an hour and a half, he sits Shiva till that amount of time. Or on a Friday, there's no halacha that you get up at Chatzos, you get up midday on Friday or Erev Yontif. There's no such halacha. A person sitting Shiva on Erev Shabbos, he sits until the amount of time he needs to to get ready for Shabbos, or till the amount of time he needs to get ready for Yom Tov. The only time that the Shulchan Aruch says that one stops the Avelos at midday is an Erev Pesach. Because an Erev Pesach midday on is considered the Yom Tov. It was the time of the bringing of the Korban Pesach. So it's got a extra status of holiness and of simcha. In fact, Rav Schechter is of the opinion that people who make a mistake and they go to the Kotel on Friday in the afternoon and they don't tear Kriya because they feel that it's already close enough, he feels that that's a mistake based on the halacha by Erev Pesach. By Erev Pesach, it's already Yom Tov. But Erev Shabbos or Erev any other Yom Tov, it's still a weekday till the very end. And only on Erev Pesach do we have such a halacha that it's already a Yom Tov from midday. So from around 1 o'clock and onward, it's already considered a Yom Tov. So that's the aspect, the unique aspect that we have on an Erev Pesach. So, but the specific topic of discussion this year is going to be the issur of eating chametz on Erev Pesach. And because Erev Pesach is a strange type of day, we don't eat chametz, at least in the morning we can, but not the rest of the day. And we're not allowed to eat matzah either on Erev Pesach. That's going to be the upcoming shiur about the prohibition of eating matzah. This year becomes especially interesting that a lot of people want to eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach, so they don't have to worry that the house is already Pesedic. And so we'll discuss the permissibility or and the issues involved in eating egg matzah in the upcoming shiurim. But as far as the issur of eating chametz on Erev Pesach, where does that come from? So the Torah says, Shivas yomim matzos tochenu. You should eat matzos for 7 days. Ach bayom harishon tashbisu se'or mibateichem. You should get rid of chametz on the first day. Kichol ochel chametz v'nichos ha'nefesh ahi miYisrael miYom HaRishon ha'Yom HaShmi. So Chazal teach us a very unique thing in the Gemara Mesachim, which if we wouldn't have known it, we would have misinterpreted the pasuk. What does the word v'Yom HaRishon mean? So I would have thought Yom HaRishon means the first day. But we know that the first day is not the time that we get rid of our chametz. By the first day of Pesach, our chametz should already been gone. In fact, there's an issur of Bal Yerah, there's an issur of only chametz. So, Yom HaRishon, Chazal tell us, does not mean the first day of Pesach. Yom HaRishon, in this context, means Erev Pesach. Yeah, so let's see Rashi and Chumash. Ach v'yom harishon tashbisu me'erev yontif. Shekori rishon l'fisher hu l'snei hashiva. Matzinu mukdom kori rishon kemo harishon adam tivoleid. L'snei adam l'olarato? In other words, harishon adam tivoleid. Were you born before Adam harishon? That's a rhetorical statement. So Rishon means prior. Whereas he's saying that Rishon doesn't always just mean first. Rishon, other places in Tanakh, means prior. So we have the 7 days that you're eating matzah, Yom HaRishon means prior to that, the day prior, that's the day you get rid of chametz. So So that's what the Gemara tells us, and has several proofs to this, that the Yom HaRishon is Erev Pesach. And therefore Yom HaRishon is the time where we have to get rid of our chametz. Now, it still doesn't tell me that I can't eat chametz. In other words, is there any contradiction between getting rid of chametz and eating chametz? Because we know from our own practice that I think this year, in the calendar, the place I looked, 10:16, last time for eating chametz. 10:16. There are always different opinions on them, so I'm not going to give you five different opinions. I'll give you one opinion. 10:16. Finish eating chametz by 10:16, 10:17, and then by 11:36, around there, you have to make sure that you get rid of the rest of the chametz that might have been around if you're eating chametz on Shabbos, so you flush it down the toilet, and by make sure to have said the kol chamira, the bitul chametz, by that time. So, now that clearly, 10:17, is, where does that come from? Where does that come from that we already can't eat chametz from that time of the day? I mean, where does any, in other words, the Torah speaks about eating matzahs and speaks about kol ochel chametz v'nichras ha'nef shehi Yisrael v'yom harishon v'yom hashvi, which is very interesting because the way Chazal are understanding this pasuk, the word rishon is used for two different meanings in the same pasuk. Right? Ach v'yom harishon, Chazal understand in the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim, is Erev Pesach, and he says if you eat chametz on Pesach from the first day to the seventh day, you get taras. And there, Yom Rishon means the first day. So where does it come from? So if you take a look on page 4 in the packet, the Gemara, at the end of the brackets, where the bracket ends on page 4, two words. Ach chilek. Those are the two words that are important. What does the pasuk say? Ach bayom harishon. Tashvi susor. Means you have to get rid of the chametz yom rishon. Yom rishon means when? Erev Pesach. So I would think, so it's Erev Pesach. So me, I would think it means any time, an Erev Pesach, I have to get rid of my chametz. That's what I would have thought. As long as when the first day comes in, means the night, I'm rid of my chametz, then I'm good. That's what I would have thought. But the Torah says, no, achilek. So how does Rashi explain? Achim v'rakim mi'utim. Ach is a mi'ut. It's a exclusionary word. So what is it coming to exclude? Mitzvah yom mutar, mitzvah yom osur. Mayata yesh monachale chetzil v'isur v'chetzil v'heta. That ach is a mi'ut. Ach is a mi'ut. And therefore, it comes to exclude, meaning, don't think you have the whole day on Erev Pesach to get rid of your chametz. You have the morning to eat it, then by midday it has to be gone. So ach means that we divide the day in two. So technically speaking, as far as the Torah is concerned, the whole morning is still mutter to have chametz. So that's roughly around 1 o'clock. Right? And this, now when we change the clock, to like 1 till chatzos, whenever exactly that is, in the 1 o'clock range, That's the time where chametz is mutter, and chametz is also the latter half of the day. So make sure to get rid of it by midday. And that's how Chazal understood this pasuk. So that still doesn't answer the question, so what's with the 10:17? 10:17 is pretty early, right? If Ach is, there's another Ach. You know, another famous Gemara about Ach. What's the other famous Gemara about Ach? A Gemara in Sukkah. The Hayisa Ach Sameach. So you know what the Gemara says? Lerabos Leil Yontov Acharon L'Simcha. That the last night, meaning the night of Shmini Atzeres, is still a mitzvah of Simcha. That's what the Gemara says. Ach. So the famous question of the Vilna Gaon is, I thought Ach is coming to exclude. So how does Ach Sameach is to tell me that there's a mitzvah of Simcha even the night of Shmini Atzeres? I thought Ach is to exclude. Just like we said over here, Ach is to exclude. You might think the whole day of Erev Pesach is mutter. Ach, only part of the day. Only part of the day. So you know the Vilna Gaon answers that question? He says beautifully. He says like this. What it means is like this. On Sukkot, we have so many mitzvahs. We have the Sukkah, we have the Lulav, we have the Nisach HaMayim, all these mitzvahs. And we also have the mitzvah of Simcha. So what Chazal means to say is when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, all the mitzvahs are gone. There's no lulav anymore. There's no sukkah anymore. I mean, except for chutz la'aretz, we do it because it's a sfeika d'yoma. But in Eretz Yisrael, you don't sit in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So there's no lulav. There's no sukkah. There's no pouring of the water on the mizbeach anymore. The only thing left is simcha. So l'rabos, meaning it's also a miyat. L'rabos means that's the only thing left. And that's the Vilna Gaon's famous interpretation of the Hayisa Ach Sameach. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Well, so far, what we've seen is that Erev Yontif, part of it is Mutter, part of it is Osser. Yom Rishon means Erev Yontif. And the cutoff point is Chatzos. So again, so what's the 10:17? 10:16. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, on page 5, says that the Rabbanan added Isurim. In other words, like a lot of times, Chazal don't want us to go till the last minute. Right, if we go to the last minute, we'll make a mistake. Or the Gemara talks about the Zman Chazal, things were done by the sun clock. So there were, and then it was a cloudy day, you could be off. And then you could be eating chametz past the time. So therefore, the Chachamim wanted us to what? To stop early. Because we could make a mistake. Because eating chametz too early, so that's what the Gemara says. Ramei Omer Ochlim Kol Chamish. You could eat the first 5 hours of the day. Sofrim Tchilas Shais. And Rabbi Yehuda says Ochlim Kol Arba. The first 4 hours of the day, you could eat chametz, and then Tolim on the 5th hour in limbo, and then in the beginning of the 6th hour when you burn the chametz. Again. And then the Gemara has a whole discussion that people will make mistakes with the time, and therefore that was always the way of Chazal, to make us do things earlier so we shouldn't get into a mistake. A similar idea is, the halacha is that the halachic day in Judaism starts when? From dawn, from Alos HaShachar, which is way before sunrise. roughly 72 minutes, depending upon different opinions, etc. That is the halachic day. So therefore, if one needs to do a bris milah, one needs to shake lulav, any mitzvah that can be done in the daytime, can be done already from when? From dawn, from before sunrise. However, the Mishnah says in Megillah that lechatchila is supposed to what? Wait till sunrise. Even though you can really do it 72 minutes before sunrise. You're supposed to wait till sunrise. Why? Because they were afraid if you do it right after sunrise, and right after dawn, before the sun has risen, you know what's going to happen? One day you'll do it too early and it's still night. And then you are yotze. But if you wait till the sun rises, then you see the sun. You see the ball of the sun, part of the ball of the sun above the horizon. So now you won't make a mistake. So therefore, that's why the Chachamim told us that whenever we have a mitzvah to do in the daytime, we should always wait till sunrise. So if there's a bris milah, you don't do the bris from dawn, you wait till after sunrise. If you have to shake the lulav, after sunrise. Well, shofar, after sunrise. Even though technically speaking, if you do it earlier, you still yotzei, but the Chachamim didn't want us to do that. And as Rav Shechter pointed out, the idea is that even though today we have clocks, so this whole thing should maybe not be applicable. Maybe this whole halacha is only said when when they were looking at the actual sun to determine when daylight is and when night is. Today we don't do that. Today we have clocks, so maybe this whole halacha shouldn't apply, and maybe one could say that l'chatchila, one could do it early. So that's the concept, as Rav Shechter pointed out, that the Gemara has in the Masechta Beitza of Dovar Shebeminyan, which means like this, that when the rabbis made an enactment, and they said something is asr, something is forbidden, then the halacha is that it remains forbidden even if the reason doesn't apply anymore. I'll give you an example, one of the examples Rav Shechter gave. One of the perplexing Jewish law that we follow, that is, you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos or Yontif, except for Yontif Sheni. Unless a person is very sick. Sick means that he's in bed or he can't function normally. But if he's just a person who's walking around, he just has a little discomfort, a little headache or something like that, but he's basically functioning, then there's an isser of taking medicine on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why? Because Mizman Chazal, medicine meant you didn't go to the drugstore and get the pills. You had to grind the herbs. You had to grind herbs to make the medicine. Now, so therefore, Chazal were afraid, if we're going to let you take medicine on Shabbos, you're going to come to grind the herbs on Shabbos and violate this halacha. So therefore, they forbade us taking medicine. So even though the reason doesn't apply anymore, right? No one in this, just because he's going to take a pill, you're not remotely going to come to grind herbs. So it's not going to happen. But this is the concept, as Rav Shechter mentioned, based on the Gemara in Beitza, that the Dovar Shebeminyan, that when the Chachamim went ahead and forbade something because of a certain reason, even if the reason is no longer applicable, unless we have an official bezdin that is as great as that bezdin to repeal it, it's still binding. And that's why we don't take medicine, and that's why on Erev Pesach we stop eating chametz 10:17, 10:16 in the morning, when we really technically could be eating it till 1 o'clock. But the Chachamim were afraid that what? You're going to make a mistake. Now, even though today, the margin of error, anyone could still make a mistake, but the mistake that they were concerned was because the day was cloudy and things like that, and you're not going to see the sun, and you're going to be off with the sundials. Well, that's not applicable today. But yet, That's what we follow, because of this concept in the Gemara and Beitza, that kol davar shebeminyan, that means that any enactment that was made through a rabbinic gathering of the Sanhedrin, and they voted on it, so tzarech minyan acher lahatira. If you want to undo it, you have to have another gathering of rabbis to undo it. And this concept, you know, you don't think about it, but this concept is probably the defining difference, one of the defining differences between Orthodoxy and other branches of Judaism. Because other branches of Judaism say, logically, the reason doesn't apply anymore, so why should we be following these laws? Right? A lot of things are, like, for example, Yom Tov Sheni. That's a very common thing. Yom Tov Sheni was, they didn't know, right? And still we fulfill Yom Tov Sheni even Bizman Hazeh, because he's either Minog or Takana. But even though, so that was something that in other branches was done away with. But this concept of a Dovah Shebeminyan, and that's when, so when we're stopping eating the chametz at 10:17, when we really could be eating it till 1 o'clock, it's with this concept that chachamim, it once was a problem, and even though today it probably is not a problem, but that's, we still follow the law the way the chachamim enacted it. And that's the basis of much of our, a lot of halacha is based on that principle of a davar shebeminyan, tzarech minyan acher lahatira. So there is a very interesting opinion of the Baal Hamor, which we don't follow, but the Baal Hamor was one of the Rishonim. And it's found on page 13. The Baal Hamor wrote his commentary when he was a teenager, per se. Like 17, 18 years old. And he wrote this, commentary is considered one of the classic commentaries on, you see, the way, just you should be familiar, the way this page is not the Gemara, this, the middle over here is the Rif, which looks like the Gemara, and then a lot of times the Baal Hamor was the Rav Zrachya Halevi, so he quoted, sometimes he calls himself Hamor HaKatan, and sometimes he calls himself Hamor HaGadol. As Rav Shechter pointed out, in the Moed Masechtas, which he considers easier Masechtas, calls himself Hamor HaKatan. In the Bava Basra and the Zikin Masechtas, which he considers more difficult, he calls himself Hamor HaGadol. So a lot of times he critiques the Rif. And the Muhammad Hashem, that's the Ramban, he's coming to defend the Rif very often. And he calls himself Muhammad Hashem. In other words, he's fighting the war of Torah to defend the Rif against the critique of the Baal Hamor. So it's always a fascinating... And the Baal Hamor very often has very original ideas. So before we see it inside, let's just see what we just said. We said that really, Erev Pesach is, we have to get rid of the chametz. So we would apply any time, but the pasuk says ach, and ach is what? Ach means a miyat, so therefore we understand it to mean that part of the day is mutter, and part of the day is asa. So the Baal Hamor says that that's not exactly the case. Take a look. He writes like this. you look on the 6th line in the Baal Mor, the last word on the line is Ochil. The Ochile Mechal Misheshol Sulamala Ad Ha'Eretz. He says, if you would eat chametz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, so the afternoon, that for sure is also right? Right? We said, really, it was based on the Gemara. We said, from 1 o'clock onward is also. And then, Chachamim made an added restriction in the morning. But he says, the Ochel Lemechol Mishesh Osu Lamala Ad Ha'erev Eina Over Ba'achilasa. He says, you don't violate anything. Why? She'ein Lecha Hashbasa G'dolo Mizu. He says, because there's no contradiction between eating and getting rid of chametz. Eating is the greatest way of getting rid of chametz. So if Erev Pesach, it doesn't say, on Pesach itself, you're not allowed to eat chametz. It's not a din of getting rid of chametz. On Pesach itself, you're forbidden to eat chametz. Erev Pesach, the Torah doesn't say, well, so chal chametz. It says, tashbisu, get rid of. So everybody else, all the other Rishonim, are of the opinion that getting rid of, by definition, implies that I can't eat it. So the Baal Mor, one day, got up and challenged that assumption. And he says, who said? Who said that so? Just because the Torah says get rid of, doesn't mean that you can't eat. So the Baal Mor says, as far as the Torah is concerned, if you want to eat chametz on Erev Pesach, even after 1 o'clock, later in the day, that's fine. Because you're fulfilling Tashbisu by eating. And all the other Rishonim understood that Tashbisu means you have to get rid of it in a way that you're not benefiting from it. That Tashbisu is a type of getting rid of it in a destructive manner, destroying the chametz. And the Baal Mor just says very beautifully, the author of Mechum Sheshos Lamala Ha'er Eidu Over Machiloso She'ein Lecha Hashposa Gedolo Mizu. He says, Lachachimo, you should start, you know, Eimo Lashoso, you should Nichza Shah Shish, it's the kind of Malay the Mitzvah Tashvisa Mitzvah Shah Shavis, Mitzvah Ach Chilet, the Chamasu Siyad Shah Shish is Medivayim. So technically speaking, it's not such a good idea to have kept chametz around so late, but he says he finds that as far as the Torah is concerned, there's no issue. And the others, saying the Ravid on the bottom of the page, who argues, he says, the Ochel Mechol, Amar Aleph Aleph means Amar Avram. That was his name, Avram. So whenever he starts speaking, he starts by saying Aleph Aleph, Amar Avram. Avram says, Ein L'dvar of Mamash. He says, what the Baal Mor said is not true. Shekore lachila hashbasa. A few derech sreifaso ain a rosher lahanas mimenu kol shekein achila. He says, not only the Baal Mor is wrong, that hashbasa means to destroy it, if you would want to burn it, and at the same time you're burning it, you want to cook an egg or something like that, you want to use it for your benefit while it's being burnt, that's also forbidden. Well, you say you could even eat it, the writer says, I'm telling you, not only you can't eat it, you can't benefit, because hashbasa means at this time the Torah wants it to be destroyed, to be out of your jurisdiction. And even though the Torah didn't use the word achila, but by the fact that the Torah is saying destroy it, that implies that we don't want you to have any shaykhs to it. Whereas the Baal Mor says, why not? The Torah says I have to get rid of it. So I'm getting rid of it. Yeah. Right. In other words, bottom line, halakha is irrelevant because the chachamim went ahead and said you can't eat it already from 10:17. The balamor is discussing what was the din as far as the Torah is concerned on in terms of chametz.
The question is, so why then? How do you explain the shittas in the Mishnah? Why do we push it back to fourth hour, fifth hour, and
you go. Well, still, they didn't want you, they were afraid you're going to, I guess, they were afraid you're going to be lax, and things like that, so they want you to get, right. So, but that's, right, in other words, once the Chachamim came along, then the whole thing becomes irrelevant, but that was the opinion of the Baal HaMor, that the chametz is also for all that means is that you have to get rid of it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to you can't eat it. That's just that's a possibility. Definitely a possibility. I mean, there's a famous discussion about. So again, so this year we're going to get rid of most of our chametz on, on Friday, which is the day before Erev Pesach, and l'chakilu is an Indian, even though to do it before 11:36, even though 11:36 is irrelevant on the day before, but still not to make a mistake the next day. So we have this this minute to finish everything, getting rid of the chametz at 11:36. And the Gemara also tells us that chametz is unique. First of all, chametz not only you can't eat it, you can't own it. Right? You can't own chametz. Why can't you own chametz? So the Ran explains, because chametz is something that we're so used to the whole year round, we're afraid if you're going to go ahead and and have it in your house, you're going to come to eat it. So that's why, even if many people sell the chametz, right? So there's a halacha that even though you sell your chametz, you can't have it around. Meaning, the Gemara says that there has to be a mechitza between yourself and the chametz. Like a mechitza, 10 tefachim, a wall. So that's why if you put it in another room, you shut the door, tape the door, that's the wall. But you can't just say, I'm going to leave my chametz around in the house, and I sold it, it's not mine. So there's another halacha that you can't have even somebody else's chametz in the house, because you might come to eat the chametz. Shema Yavol La'ochlo. So therefore, to make sure that the Shema Yavol La'ochlo would not be a chashash, so therefore we have this din of a mechitza between us and the chametz. And because on Pesach, not only you can own it, you can't. There's a chashash shem yavo l'ochlo. That's why Tosa says in the beginning of the Masechta, why are we bodei chametz? Really, the Gemara says that once you say, if you say kol chamira, Rashi's opinion is that's tashbisu. Whereas some Yishevah say tashbisu means literally to destroy it. Rashi has a unique opinion that Tashbisu you fulfill when you say Kol Chamira. That Tashbisu doesn't mean physical destruction, according to the opinion of Rashi. Tashbisu means it's a state of mind. That in my mind I view this as dirt, as dust, and I'm not going to use it. That is what the Torah means when it says Tashbisu. So according to Rashi, Tashbisu, Rashi in the Gemara in Tzachim, Tashbisu means to think, well, you simply say Kol Chamira, but Kol Chamira is really that we think of it as offer. We think of a Chamrit as offer. That's why the minig is that we verbalize the Kol Chamira. Right, we say Kol Chamira in the, right, we have one Kol Chamira for the night, one Kol Chamira for the day. We say one Kol Chamira after the Bedikas Chametz, and then the other one we're going to say on Shabbos. The Kol Chamira we're going to say on Shabbos. But Rashi Shita is that as far as the Torah is concerned, that's all you have to have done. Meaning, according to Rashi, as far as the Torah is concerned, you can have Chametz in your house as long as you made up mentally that I'm not going to use this for the next 7 days. Whereas the other Rishon will say, no, Tashbisu means literally, you got to burn it. Rashi holds the whole concept of getting rid of Chametz is only rabbinic in nature. Whereas the other Rishon will say, no, that's what Tashbisu means. So that's like a tremendous difference as far as what the Torah had in mind as far as Chametz. So the Shitas Rashi is Tashbisu means that I just have to fiddle the leg and I fulfill Tashbisu. And according to the other Rishonim, that I have to what? I have to actually destroy it. But even according to Rashi, that you don't have to destroy Chametz, that's only as far as the Torah is concerned. But Chachamim were afraid that if you have all the Chametz around in your house, you're going to come to eat it. So that's how some explain, or we're afraid that maybe, you know, even the way some explain Rashi is, even though you said you're going to treat it like offer, but it's hard to believe that you really meant it. You know, you have a nice piece of cake in the fridge there, and I saw it's offer. You know, it's hard to... So, as far as the Torah is concerned, we trust that you'll be okay. But as far as the Chachamim are concerned, that we said we can't rely on it, and then you got to really get rid of it. So everyone agrees. Bottom line, at the end of the day, you have to get rid of it. And the minute became that we get rid of, you know, some of the chametz, and people sell chametz, and that's a very interesting minute. You know, people think, oh, you have to sell. I mean, selling of chametz was really made for people that really have a big hefset. You know, for very expensive things, and you're going to have a big hefset. And the original case in the Gemara, the Tosefta, was a person was on a boat. And he was on Erev Pesach on the boat, and he had chametz, so he didn't know what to do, and I guess they couldn't just... So they sold the chametz. Or have chametz someplace else. But some Rishonim say that that's only if you were stuck on a one-time thing, but to do it year in, year out, to sell chametz, that the Ritva writes is not proper. So Minhag Yisrael is not to follow this Ritva. And people sell chametz year in, year out. And But I always tell my chalidim, you know, when they're in their parents' house, that's what they have to, you know, they sell the chametz. When they get in their own house, as Rav Soloveitchik used to encourage his chalidim, that the real chametz that you have, you should get rid of. You shouldn't just sell. Chametz gomor, you should really try to get rid of it. You know, people not only, you know, people stock up on chametz before Pesach because they're afraid that there's going to be chametz over on Pesach in the stores. So not only they don't get rid of chametz, what people do is they stock up before, and they buy extra chametz, and they keep it in the house, and they sell it. So technically you didn't violate anything, but I think that's like missing the whole point of the mitzvah. That the whole point of the mitzvah is getting rid of the chametz. And people always ask, is it bal tashkis? No, it's not bal tashkis. Because the Torah says that's the mitzvah of the Torah, to get rid of your chametz. So something to think about. I mean, a lot of things, like deodorant, soaps and all these things are not chametz at all. Because you don't need kosher Pesach shampoo. You don't need kosher Pesach soap. All these things are not fit for human consumption, don't have the status of chametz, and not only is mutter to use on Pesach. Right? The only time that there's an issur on Pesach is something that's fit for human consumption. But if it's not fit for human consumption, if before Pesach it was already not fit for human consumption, so then the halakha is that you could use it on Pesach. That's why Mikra did all the medicines and things like that could be used on Pesach. There's a question about vitamins, because vitamins, some want to say, is really considered like a food supplement. So we should consider, some poskim hold that way, that we consider that like food. And others say no, vitamins is also mutter. But that's the din. The chametz that's nifsal, the chametz that's not fit for human consumption, is not chametz, and therefore could be soaps and shampoos and all these things. You don't need a special kosher Pesach thing. Yeah.
Your mouth
sounds
like
pasta
or bread.
Right.
So something that doesn't have a
kosher Pesach Hashgacha.
Oh, so
that's what you mean.
So you don't sell that?
Oh, right. So, yeah. So the way my meaning is, I don't sell chametz because I feel that's, you know, but what we do is anything that is really, strictly speaking, kosher, even though it doesn't have Hashgacha, so we're not going to eat it, but we're not going to get rid of it either. No, because technically it's mutter. So you don't really have to put it behind the mechitza.
Something like corn, which has
to have... Yeah, like kidneys, you don't have to get rid of kidneys and things like that. But it's funny how the trend, I mean, of halacha and how things evolved, that, you know, so after the cut, that people feel that Chir's Chametz is like, that's like eating matzah. I know every Pesach I sell the Chametz, I eat the matzah, and that's part of my, observing of Pesach, but the Chir's Chametz is really not something that, is encouraged. Okay, I'm not selling the matzah because people have a lot of, sometimes a lot of whiskey and it's a big hefset and things like that, but it wasn't, I didn't say many Rishonim were of the opinion that that's not the, especially the Ritva writes that if you do it more than once, it doesn't work. If you stop one time, you can do it. If you do it on a yearly basis, the Ritva writes that it doesn't work. So we don't pass them like this, the Ritva, but to clear, if you learn, you see that was the Ratzon of Chazal. And the Ratzon of the Torah was to get rid of it. But people have it in their psyche that, no, we don't get rid of chametz, we just sell it. Who's going to get rid of it? Baltashkes, we're going to get rid of chametz. After they cut, they forgot what the whole point of the mitzvah is all about. So,
my problem is that nowadays there's so many products that you don't really know what's in it. So, I mean, it's like all these prepared foods, packaged foods, it may have a trace of chametz, but it doesn't have a kosher for Pesach symbol on it. So it could
right, so look, if you're not sure, those you want to sell, no one will have a time on that. No one will have a time on that. But,
if you don't sell it, could that fall under the category of bezel?
What do you mean?
In other words, if you have products that are mamish chametz, but maybe in the factory there's a trace of chametz in it, and you're not selling,
you're saying that by practice you typically don't sell chametz. So if you're not selling your chametz and you have product in your house that may or may have a trace of chametz in it, when you do your bitul chametz in your mind, saying I don't own it, does that?
Yeah, but still, midrabanan, if there's real chametz, you still, the vittel is not enough. Midraisa, it's good enough, but midrabanan. So, in other words, we'd have to check to make sure that it's,
Nowadays, you know, you go to the supermarket, you really have no idea what's in the ingredient. Unless it has an OU or an OUP or, you know, it actually comes
over that. Right. But, the different websites, that have more information on these, on these topics. So you could find out more information than you could in the past. There's another interesting point I want to show you in Rashi of the Ach Hilek. On the how does Ach? You know, Ach Hilek. So how do you know that it's half in the middle of the day? It could be three. So then you split the day. So how do you know how to split? Let me take a look at page 4. So he says, keep going in the Rashi. Achi leg achim v'rachim miyutim. Alma mitzvah sayom mutar mitzoso osu. Me'ata yesh lanu chalei ketzil yisum ketzil lehetet. Yikud the Omer ach hu chetz b'gmashria. Ach is chetz. Chetz means chatzi. So how's ach chetz? It's not just the regular gmashria that we're, you know, we think about gmashria as numerical, numbers. He says the achas b'ta yif dechatz. So what is that? Means like this. If you do the Hebrew alphabet like this, aleph, beis, gimel, dalet, one or the other. Aleph, beis, gimel, dalet. Then hey, vav, zayin, ches. So it's in force. Ches, yud, chof, lam. Mem nun samach ein. So it's, you do it in fours, so the Torah says ches tachas aleph zitzadi b'mokum chaf. So in other words, ach is going to have the under the aleph. In other words, it's going to be the ches, and the tzadi is going to be the makom chaf. So if you have the
seven letter intervals,
so then the right. So there were seven down. So you'll have aleph beis gimel dalet zayin, and then you'll have the ches. So then the aleph and the ches will be next to each other, and the tzadi and the chaf will be next to each other. So the ach becomes chetz, and that's another way of darshaning. It's interesting that the matrios, the Mishnah says in Firkei Avos, are parparos l'chokma. In other words, it's not the gufa chokma, but it's parparosa chokma. Very, very rarely do we learn halacha from gematria, except for nozer. He has 30 days that we learn, but most cases we don't learn, halachas from gematrias. But here is, according to Rashi, the way the Chazal knew that ach means that way is through. Yeah, there are right in Gemara. Eila Hadvarim. Right, you do have. The question is, are some of these real limudim, or just an asmachta, or things like that. Okay, so let's just review what we discussed this evening. We pointed out that The Isser of Kares of Chametz is during the 7 days. On Erev Pesach, the Torah never says you're not allowed to eat Chametz. The Torah just says, Lach v'yom HaRishon, and Yom Rishon, Chazal say, means Erev Pesach. So Yom Rishon doesn't mean first, but it means prior. So on Erev Pesach, you have to get rid of your Chametz. At what point? So it doesn't say. So the Gemara says, Ach Hilek. The Ach means that part of the day is Mutter, part of the day is Asr. And then the Chachamim went ahead and made an Isser a couple of hours before so you shouldn't make a mistake. And we said that even though this man is there and we have clocks and we're not going to make a mistake, but still the Gemara says that the Dovash of Abinion, that whenever the Chachamim made a halakhic enactment, even if the reason doesn't apply, the halakha is not automatically rescinded. Unless there's a bezdin that hadn't convened again, a bezdin of the same stature or greater, convened again to repeal it. And that's why we still have Yontif Sheni, Bizman Azeh, even though it really, you know, shouldn't be Bizman Azeh, because we don't have Yontif Sheni, because they didn't know when the true day was. Today we know when the true day is. We still have an issue of medicine, Bizman Azeh, even though no one's going to come to grind. So we still keep this issue of not having comments on Erev Pesach, not only from Tatzoson, but even earlier. And then we saw the opinion of the Baal HaMor that disagrees. And the Baal HaMor's opinion is that the Torah never said that you can't have chametz on Erev Pesach. The Torah just said you have to get rid of your chametz on Erev Pesach. But who says that eating is not a form of getting rid of? So midrabanan, you have to already, can't eat the chametz already from 2 hours before, but a couple hours before. But as far as the Torah is concerned, you can eat the whole day. Comments. That's the opinion of the Baal HaMor. And the Rambam disagrees and says, no, when the Torah says Tashbisu, the Torah means what? Destroy it. Not only can't eat, you can't even use it while you're destroying. Because destruction and use are opposites. So Tashbisu means destruction. And destruction means you can't use it. Then we discuss, what does Tashbisu mean? Is Tashbisu a physical thing? That's what most Rishonim say, or Rashi, and the Rambam says, no, Tashbisu just means you have to have in your mind that you're not going to use it. And that's what the Kol Chamira is. And that's why it's very important, if you don't know the meaning of the Aramaic, you should say the Kol Chamira in English. Because it's not, the whole point of the Kol Chamira is that you're nullifying it. It means that you understand what you're talking about. It's not just a verbal declaration. The Iker of Tashbisu is, the Iker of Bittul is belief. That means you're understanding that you're doing it. Yeah, so this is different. This is, the Torah says Tashbisu here, so that's a different type of thing. Yeah, there's a special Xeris Akosta, the Gemara, the second type of Shabbos, talks about it. Okay, and then we said that even according to the opinion of Rashi, that chametz has to be is a question of tashbisu, it's only in your mind, but midrabanan, you have to get rid of it. And then we discussed mechiras chametz is a question whether that's a lachatchila or is that not a lachatchila, and we have mentioned the opinion of the Ritva that says that if you do it on a regular basis, then chachamim penalize you, that it doesn't work. That's not the way, it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. So Minhag Yisrael is to sell the chametz. But there are people that are makrid, and Rav Soloveitchik used to encourage his talmidim not to sell real chametz, you know, like bread and pasta and all the chametz gomor, to really get rid of it. Because that's what the Torah says. It's tashbisu. And it's also hard to believe, you know, these mechiras, how much mechiras das there are. You know, it's like the guy would come around, you know, every year. Say if every year he would pick someone else's house to take some chametz. So, okay, so then I could see you can have real, you really think you're selling your chametz. But, I don't know. I always was, growing up, it always bothered me, the whole concept of mechir stomachs. That's why I decided to have my own house, so I'm not going to do mechir stomachs, going to get rid of, but it's not something that everyone can do, and it's totally understandable. I'm not trying here to try to tell you not to sell your chametz, but it's something to think about, that whatever you can minimize by, especially not to store up, what people do, they store up the extra chametz. To do that, I think that's the opposite of the intent of the halacha.